Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Poppin, the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. You think about Hall of Famer Sam Huff, Hall of Famer Harry Carson. The Giants' tradition at the middle linebacker position has always been fantastic. And when the Giants won Super Bowl 42, they had another smart, tough leader of their football team. His name was Antonio Pierce. But his road to the Big Blue was a lot different than others. He went undrafted coming out of the University of Arizona and signed a free agent contract with the Giants in 2005. Ask any of his teammates, who was the heart and soul of that team and that defense? AP.
Smell greatness in there today. You can smell greatness in the day today.
Antonio was the guy that knew the play before the ball was snapped. He was so smart as a middle linebacker.
Six!
I mean, talk about the quarterback of the defense.
Pass, Sammy!
He was an actual general out there on the field.
Weak blitz white!
Antonio Pierce joined the Giants in 2005 after playing 4 years with the Big Blue's NFC East rival, the Washington Redskins.
You know, I think being in the division for 4 years previous, you saw what was being built. You know, and obviously in 2004 when you draft a quarterback number one, and that last name of that quarterback is a Manning, you feel like you have a shot, you know, that they're going, the arrow's pointing up. And you saw a lot of moving parts, right? O-line was starting to kind of gel. Running back was Tiki. And defensively, didn't quite know because a lot of those guys are younger. And you knew there was a lot of pieces of the puzzle missing. But I think, you know, in 2005 with myself, Plax, Kareem McKenzie, you saw us fill a couple of those needs and those gaps of guys who may play.
And a ball is loose, picked up by the Giants. Antonio Pierce, and he runs it in for a touchdown.
Antonio Pierce was the guy, though. I don't think people really understand the type of play and the type of leader he was. And then once he came in, you know, he'd be out there calling out plays before they were ran. He was just doing amazing things that people wouldn't, from the outside looking in, you might not be able to see and appreciate the type of person and player that he was.
Blitz is on, hit by Dench. Ball comes loose. There's a scramble for it. Giants say they have it. And the Giants recover it.
In 2007, Big Blue hired Steve Spagnuolo as their defensive coordinator. But Pierce and the Giants would get off to a rocky start.
You know, you go through preseason, and you're doing things, and it works. You're believing. You're like, wow, okay, you know, new coordinator, new system. It's working. And then, you know, it's a totally different ball game when the regular season comes on. Guys have seen what you're preparing for and how you're playing in the preseason, and that's what happened in Dallas game. And that wasn't good enough when you're playing a good team, and Dallas was going to be a good team that year. Then the second game, you got Green Bay. You're dealing with, you know, Brett Favre, and that was going to be a good team. So you come out the gate playing two highly explosive offenses, and defensively, you're not as detailed and dialed into your assignments and understand just the concepts. Why is Spags calling certain things on third down? Why is he putting me in this position on first down? To play the game, you have to understand those things. So it took us a while, and those first two games were, you know, it was a hard lesson to learn.
I give Antonio Pierce a lot of credit because he was the centerpiece that started the ball rolling in the right direction. You know, he took a lot on his plate to kind of make sure that he was the extension of Coach Spags on the football field. And I think at that point, that's when we really started to roll.
In week three, Pierce and the Giants traveled to Washington to face his former team. And the Big Blue defense would look to kickstart their season with a goal line stand at the end of the game.
The best thing about it when you're struggling is to play somebody you're familiar with. So the one thing we knew Washington. I knew Washington. And this is a divisional foe, and you can't take another step back. We knew going in we had to win.
Fourth and goal at the one. Redskins need a touchdown to tie.
Do your assignment. Everybody lock in. I remember just everybody just saying, just do your job, right? That's a TC-type quote, right? Do your job. And that play came down to that simple.
Takes the snap. Handoff left for Fast, and he shook up and stopped short. Giants stopped him on fourth and goal.
And then it goes from quiet to noise.
And the defense for the Giants holds.
And they're going to win the ball game.
The Giants may have saved their season with a stirring victory against their NFC East rivals, the Washington Redskins.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Antonio Pierce, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Antonio Pierce, presented by New York Presbyterian.
I don't know if y'all noticed, but the old boy's bloody now. He's bloody himself some more now.
You know what that's called? Putting the hammer down.
After starting the 2007 season with two losses, Pierce and the Giants would right the ship, winning their next six games.
Drops back, short set, over the middle, intercepted by Pierce at the 32, running right to the 20. Antonio Pierce gets his first interception of the season.
What was even more impressive was Big Blue's knack for winning games away from home.
Drops back under pressure from Pierce, and he gets sacked by Antonio Pierce. Back at the 13-yard line, first sack of the season. Pierce jumped on his back.
When you go on the road, you know what you're dealing with. You know you're going to a hostile, tough, us-against-the-world mentality. I just knew that when we got on the road, we played better. We had more confidence. We were loose. I thought we had more swagger on the road. You know what I mean? Because we get to talk to their crowd and go at them. It was fun.
But despite six straight road victories, the Giants would still need a win at Buffalo in Week 16 to ensure a playoff berth.
First of all, our weatherman did a great job that week, Coach Coughlin, because he always gives us updates. But, you know, I don't think he was quite right this day. And I remember coming out through the tunnel and just seeing the goalposts.
It's like the Bills cued the rain and wind.
Then you got the wind, you know, then you got the rain, then a little snow later on. You know, you're playing Buffalo, good team, quarterback's young, but they got a good young running back in Marshawn Lynch. You know, let's stop him, get after the quarterback and be our kind of game. Once we kind of got into a rhythm, we got after the running back, stopped him, and then now is, you know, the DNs I'm dealing with, you know, the OCs, the Tucks, the Strahans, it was a feeding frenzy. You know, and guys start having fun, playing. You know, we had a couple touchdowns defensively.
Deflected and intercepted by the Giants. Picked off, running down the right side, like Kavika Bishop, and he takes it into the touchdown.
That's what they wanted.
And the Giants fans here in Buffalo erupt.
The defense gave the Giants the lead in the fourth quarter, but it would be a rookie that delivered the knockout punch.
Hand off Bradshaw, up the middle, finds a crease, up to the 20, 25, 30, it's a foot race.
When he broke through that line, and you saw this little guy coming out bow-legged, and he had a head full of steam, missing part of his NY emblem on his helmet. And it's like he's running 100 miles per hour, everybody else is in slow motion.
Bradshaw to the 40, to midfield, no one's going to get the rookie, Adam Marshall, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Ahmad Bradshaw, 88 yards for the rookie, and the rookie may have run the Giants into the postseason.
And he said, that's it. We're going to the playoffs. That's it. That's the game clincher right there. We're good. We're in the playoffs.
Congratulations, gentlemen. 10 wins in here. That's a great job, man. Terrific job.
To rest or not to rest, that is the quandary facing Tom Coughlin's Giants. With nothing to be gained in the playoff standings, do they sit their starters or do they go for the big win against the Patriots and the momentum that that would provide going into the playoffs?
They're very talented. I think definitely Strahan should take the weekend off. I'd rest them. I know that. Coughlin, if you're listening, definitely rest those guys.
When TC walked in the room, I expected for him to only say one thing, that we're all in, that we're going to play. That's just how he approached things. It's business. This is week 17, and we got a job to do. It just happens to be a really big game, right, for a team that's doing something very historic. But they had our place, that Giants Stadium. So it didn't matter about the 16-0. That was another guy in front of us. And on the defensive side of the ball, we knew the matchups that we had, and we knew how physical we were compared to them.
Back to pass goes Brady. Feels some pressure, and he's going to get sacked back at the 39-yard line.
So for us, the message is very clear. Just need one more chance. Just need one more chance at him.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Antonio Pierce, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Antonio Pierce, presented by New York Presbyterian.
Let's get it, baby. Let's get it, D.
AP, he was kind of that quarterback on the defense and changing blitzes and, you know, going through protections and changing plays, and then he's changing the defense. It was a game of chess with him. He was great to compete against and to see the way he practiced every day. Every rep was full speed.
As the 2007 postseason began, Antonio Pierce and the Road Warrior Giants traveled to Tampa for the NFC wildcard game. After handling the Buccaneers 24-14, the stage was set for the highly anticipated third meeting between Big Blue and Big D.
You sense the arrogance from the Cowboys throughout the season, right? They beat us twice, and hats off to them. We didn't handle our business defensively. We didn't have an answer for Terrell Owens. We couldn't stop the guy. He really got after us.
If the sting of losing to Dallas twice in the regular season wasn't enough, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones would provide some extra motivation for Pierce and the Giants.
The whole Jerry Jones and the ticket thing, you're guaranteeing that this game, that we don't even have to go out there and play, that you're going to give your guys a couple extra tickets. And I remember Coughlin said it right before the game, that, you know, hey, just give you guys a heads up. Left a couple extra tickets for his players for next week's conference championship game against Green Bay. That had me pissed off, to be honest.
Heavyweight fight, let's go!
I was ready to do whatever it took in that game to make sure we won. And guys had a laser eye focus. You knew everybody had did their homework. There was no stone unturned going to the Cowboys.
A blitz from the Giants. Romo's in trouble and goes down. Sacked for the first time in this game, and there were four Giants chasing him. Pressure by Antonio Pierce.
Giants trying to pull off the upset. High drama in Big D. 4-11 at the Giants 23. 16 seconds to go.
Now this is the time, guys, where big players make big plays.
Romo takes the snap. Back to throw. Has time to the end zone. Intercepted by the Giants. Intercepted by the Giants in the end zone.
When R-Dub put those hands up, I knew it was money.
R-W for quarters.
Way to go, R-W. What a play.
To see him come down with that ball, you look over there, you see all this blue. Jumping, guys on the sideline.
You can't say enough about this Giants team and what they just accomplished and the way that they played and what they had to do at the end to win this game. And I know Jerry Jones and the rest of this organization is absolutely sick.
We need to be Jerry and the Cowboys in Jerry's world. Nothing better than that.
Welcome to Lambeau Field in Green Bay for the NFC Championship game. Second coldest game ever at Lambeau Field, -1 degree with a wind chill of -23.
When that wind and that cold air hits you, you knew it was real. It was different. I'm not gonna lie, I've never in my life felt anything like that. Game before the Super Bowl, don't matter how cold or hot it is, we got to play it. Now it's game time.
On the very first offensive play from scrimmage, Pierce would watch as one of his teammates made a huge impact.
First and 10 from the Giants 18.
As Brandon Jacobs runs into Charles Woodson.
To me, that's the biggest play of our entire playoff run. Because that truly identifies and lets you know who we were that year. When it came down to it, we're going to hit you in the goddamn mouth. And I loved it. And when you get hit like that on the early part of the game, it's like probably going up against Mike Tyson in the first round, those first 10 seconds, when you get hit with those haymakers. Most of the time, those guys don't respond back to come back to win. And for us, I felt that was the, if not a knockout blow, one of the most stunning blows that we gave any team out the gate.
The Packers still led the Giants by 1 point late in the first half and were threatening to add a touchdown to widen their lead when Big Blue's middle linebacker stepped up to save the day.
It was right before the two-minute warning. They're driving. You know, they got a little momentum.
So it's 3rd and 8 from the 19-yard line.
I knew it was an opportunity for us to just not give up a touchdown.
Favre out of the shotgun, barks out signals, takes the snap and drops back. Screen set up left.
Recognize the screen, I'm like, oh man, we're in trouble. And I remember seeing the lineman already kind of having a couple steps on me, and I'm like, I just got to shoot it. Like, I don't know if I'm going to make the play, but if I don't shoot it, it's an easy touchdown.
Complete it, and then it's stood up by Antonio Pierce, who makes the play at the 19-yard line with a blocker on his back.
You talk about a great play by Antonio Pierce.
Nobody really talks about that, but that was one of the best plays I think I saw in the whole playoffs that year.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
And look what he's got out in front of him. I mean, there's three blockers, and yet he's able to go through them.
It should have been a touchdown. It should have been that type of play that breaks our back, and yet it was the type of play that broke their back. And again, it's Antonio Pierce. I wasn't too surprised.
After Lawrence Tynes missed two field goals in the fourth quarter, the game would go to overtime, and the Giants' defense would once again be put to the test.
At that point, they couldn't run the ball. We had totally took Ryan Grant out the game. They're going to throw the ball. And as bad as it sounds, you want Brett Favre to throw the ball. We knew that he was going to give us an opportunity. He gave us several opportunities in the game to catch the ball and finish the plays, and we just need one more.
Favre back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
Come on, man, come on. Finish!
All right, here goes Tynes again from 47 yards. Snap is good. Kick on its way.
I remember just watching that ball go. And when that thing went straight down the middle, I said, oh my.
And how the distance it is.
Good.
Lawrence Tynes has kicked the Giants to the Super Bowl.
Obviously one of the, to me, one of the greatest kicks in Giants history. In the moment, in the conditions, game over. We did it.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Antonio Pierce, presented by New York Presbyterian. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Antonio Pierce, presented by New York Presbyterian.
The brain of the operation. Nothing would have worked in that first Super Bowl if it wasn't for Antonio Pierce. Incredible instincts, amazing leader, and just ran the show.
February the 3rd, 2008, at stake the Vince Lombardi Trophy. The New York Football Giants and the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42.
That's my first Super Bowl. I was nervous. I had butterflies.
We got the jitterbug out. I said, let's go. All right, let's go.
I think at that point, our confidence was at ultimate high.
Defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo's game plan was to rush the Patriots quarterback nonstop. And with Pierce leading the Giants' defense, it was executed to near perfection.
Brady, that year, he was probably one of the least sacked, least hit quarterback in National Football League. What happens when he does get hit? How's he going to respond then?
Brady took another hit, but he is getting rattled.
First time, probably only time, going up against him several times in preseason, different games. You never heard him get after his linemen like he did in the Super Bowl. The things he was saying, you're like, we're getting to him. The hits, the sacks, the pressures, the disguises. We were doing that bad boy like an orchestra. Guys, we were rocking and rolling. Safety Jarrell Wilson doing a heck of a job. Kavika Mitchell, he was doing his bluff. I mean, if we played the perfect game, that was about as close as it was probably besides two plays.
Brady back, has time, steps up, gets hit, fumble. Sacks, fumble the football, it's loose on the ground, they scramble for it. Giant ball at midfield.
Despite their stifling defense, the Giants still trailed the Patriots by 4 points late in the fourth quarter, and the offense would need to mount a game-winning drive.
Under pressure, avoids the rush, and he's going to fight out of it. Still fights out of it, now throws it deep downfield, wide open Tyree. Makes the catch. What a play by Manning. What a catch by Tyree.
But when you saw him go up, to DT's credit, I don't know what his vertical was coming out, but my boy got up. DT got up. But then you look who's on him, and he's a Hall of Famer. It's Rodney Harrison, nasty guy. And then you see DT holding the ball a couple inches from the ground, and it's not touching. Whoo! Okay. You just shrug it off like, all right, good. What's the next play? What's going to happen next?
Manning calling signals, takes the snap, looks left, lobs it left, first is wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone! And that is it! The New York Giants have knocked off the New England Patriots, and the Giants, with the most improbable win in recent memory, have won Super Bowl 42.
As soon as that final horn went off and the confetti came down, everybody in the world saw us do something that nobody believed in. And then the first thing you want to do is grab your family, and that's what I did. I grabbed my boys, saw my mom, my fiance. You hugged them, you bring them on the field, and you can't stop smiling. No crying. Just smile. I'm cheek to cheek. But the best part about it all happening, it's unforgettable.
Freedom, New York! Freedom, New York!
And everything that you thought it would be, not even close, because it's 10 times, 1,000 times better.
New York Giants down. World champions, baby. Write that down.
The joy that everybody in that city had at that moment, but nothing prepares you for the love that you get from a city like this, of New York City, and that float starts to take off, and you see the people down the road, and then you looked up, and it was just confetti, and you're like, wow. And to be one of the few teams in the history of New York to go down that canyon, it's your champion. You're not a former Super Bowl champion, you're a champion for life. And when you can go a decade and still be talked about, and still live the moment with your guys, because you know what those 53 guys were thinking, how they felt, what they went through, to come full circle and enjoy that again and relive it, it's amazing.
Pierce played two more seasons in New York before retiring from the game in 2010. He will always be remembered as the heart of that defense that helped win Super Bowl 42
and is one of the most legendary Giants to ever play his position.
When I came here, I understood the pressure of not just winning a championship, but playing the linebacker the right way. You can't put yourself in that group without bringing something home, but having hardware, having something that stays in that trophy case for life.
After his career was cut short by injury, Antonio's gone on to have a successful broadcasting, business, and coaching career. But the mark of him as a player will always stand out by that play he made in Green Bay. It took great film study, preparation, instinct, and the will to win that made Antonio Pierce a special player. And that wraps it up for this edition of Giants Chronicles, presented by New York Presbyterian. I'm Bob Pop in the Legacy Club at MetLife Stadium. This segment is brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com.